as you serve him. And I trust that the Lord is blessing you, that your cup is literally running over. God is good, despite the bad that happens. First Peter chapter 1, and we'll begin reading in verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Lord, we seek you today. We need you because we have a passage of Scripture that can change our lives and should change our lives. We thank you for your patience, your long-suffering, mercy, love that you give, and your overall forbearance of us. We thank you that we are your children, and you desire the very best for us. We pray that as we look at this scripture, that the very best will occur in our lives. In Christ's name, amen. 1 Timothy 6:6 says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. 1 Timothy 4 tells us, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. Finally, in Titus 2, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Today, in the world in which we live, The need for you and me to live godly lives is more intense than ever. Our time here on earth is slipping away with every second, minute, and hour that passes. Our day of accountability in front of Jesus Christ is getting closer with each tick of the clock. And our world that we live in, it seems to be getting worse by the day, needs our salt and light to point the way to the Savior that is willing to save. We've been blessed beyond measure with the wonderful opportunity to have a personal relationship with God. This relationship demands that we live godly, both for our sakes and for the sakes of those that are around us. According to this passage in 1 Peter, how can we live godly in an ungodly world? Living godly in an ungodly world. Our first word is remember. Verse 13, the very first word, wherefore? Because of this thing. What is it that Peter has been talking about? He has been talking about our salvation. Our salvation is so special that the prophets of the Bible desired to investigate about it and understand the things that they were writing and speaking about. These prophets did not fully understand, but they spoke of the sufferings of Jesus Christ and the glory that would follow his sufferings. God revealed to the prophets that they were not ministering to themselves as they were speaking and writing the precious word of God. It was to us who now have salvation available from God because of what Jesus did for us. What a privilege and a great responsibility we have. Even the angels in heaven desire to look into the things of salvation, and they desire to understand. But the angels cannot, because Jesus died for us, for the human race. The angels will never fully understand. They cannot experience our wonderful salvation. Do you remember? Peter is saying, remember. Remember what God has done for you. In northern Turkey, a devoted dog spent days waiting outside a hospital because her sick owner was receiving treatment. The daughter of the lady who was in the hospital would take the dog back to the house. And every morning, around 9 o'clock in the morning, the dog would show up. And the dog would stay there the entire day. When those doors, you know, when you walk in and it opens, he'd poke his head in to see what was going on, possibly looking for her master. But she kept waiting. Finally, after days in the hospital, the owner came out. And the dog was so happy because the dog had such a close relationship with her master. She remembered, that's the person that feeds me. You know, dogs will actually remember who feeds them and who doesn't, who's kind to them and who's not. It's good to remember. It's good for us to remember what God has done. Do we recall how special it was when we were born again? Do we remember being in the bondage of sin and Jesus Christ setting us free? Do we recall the joy of being changed from who we used to be into people that now love God? Do we remember when we realized that our eternal destiny would not be in hell, but it would be in heaven with God forever? Do we remember when we realized that we were no longer a child of the devil, but now we're children of God? Do we recall what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross? Do we recall the pain, the suffering of our Savior? He did it on our behalf, and He did it so that we can approach God. You can pray this morning because Jesus Christ died for you and for your sin and took it away and enabled us to go to the Father. Do we recall how the grace of God totally changed our lives? At this point in Scripture, Peter gives us the overwhelming reason that we're to live godly in Christ Jesus. Our salvation is so special that it demands we live godly. Being like God in our hearts, imitating God by the way we live, is what the Christian life is all about. How dare we return to the ungodliness when it costs Jesus Christ so much? How dare we return to the slop of sin that God hates? How dare we return to the sin that harms, destroys, cripples lives, both ours, when we sin, we pay a heavy price, and those around us that we see struggling with sin, living in sin, and the destruction that sin causes. How dare we live anything but godly? Because our sin was placed on our loving Lord on the cross so that we could walk in newness of life. Make it a practice and a habit to remember how special your salvation is. Remember the conviction, the repentance, the change in life, the change in purpose, the change in eternal destiny. Remember the cost of our blessed salvation and the cost to our wonderful Lord. Remember the grace of God leads you to turn from the ungodly life to the new godly life. Our second word in verse 13. The word is prepare. So we're going to remember. We're going to prepare. The Bible says to gird up the loins of your mind. In Bible times, men would wear long robes. When they prepared for work, they prepared for really doing anything that was physical where they needed freedom, they would pull their robes up and tie them around their waist. So that would free their legs from any hindrances. The idea of girding the loins of your mind has the idea of preparing your minds for action. Gird up the loins of your mind. Free your mind from the things that will hinder you focusing on Jesus Christ. Remove anything that will hinder your spiritual growth and progress. The lady's name was Tessica Brown. She was from Louisiana. She had one of those things that went viral. Well, she did a crazy thing. She got Gorilla Glue. Since she ran out of hairspray, and she put it all in her hair. Well, that works as long as people are taking pictures of you. But when you go and take a shower, it doesn't work too well. It's still there. So she had to get a plastic surgeon to spend 4 hours of getting the sticky stuff out of her hair through surgery. She was so happy. Although it was amazing, the plastic surgeon did not charge the $12,500 that it took to do that. He did it for free. So she was doubly happy, especially since she got her hair back. Her hair was free, free from entanglement. And that's the way God desires for us to live. The traveler, the racer, the soldier, the man who went to work, gathered in their long and loose garments so that they could be ready to do their business. That's what God wants us to do. Get rid of those things that hinder you. And be in, and just enjoy the freedom of Jesus Christ. And be ready to do business for the Lord. Our minds and affections need to be on Jesus Christ. This image of girding up the loins has the idea of battle, because the soldiers did it, and rugged travel. The believer is to grab hold of his mind and take charge of his thought life, to bring it under the obedience to Jesus Christ. The way we think and our individual thoughts are at stake. Romans 8, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Romans 15, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Proverbs 23 is a telling, 23:7 is a telling verse. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Fight the good fight of controlling your minds. That's a battle that will last until we go to heaven. But fight the good fight. Stay in it. Control what goes into your mind and what comes out of it. Often a person will speak and they say, I really didn't mean that. But the truth is, it was in the mind. And what the mind is, the heart is, and the person is. So get rid of the things that hinder. Prepare yourself. Verse 13, the next word. Self-discipline. The word sober for the Christian life means steadfastness, self-control, clarity of mind, and moral decisiveness. The sober Christian sets his priorities. He is aware spiritually of what is around him. He is not intoxicated by the allurements and snares of the world. We can name a few: internet, television, radio, the passing pleasures of sin. He is aware and he knows the danger. Back in March, doctors here in North Carolina, it was at the University of North Carolina Rex Healthcare in Raleigh. They had a very unusual request, and they called a very unusual place. They called the Riverbanks Zoo in Columbia, South Carolina, because a man came in reporting that he had been bitten by his pet green mamba. Now, that's a green mamba. I've seen them on television. The mambas can move. They scare me. They move right on up the tree. They are deadly. You step on one and he bites you, you are in trouble. So they ordered from the zoo a cooler packed with 10 vials of antivenom. They ended up using 4 on him. One man said about it, it would be difficult for an untrained person to work with these mambas. It's not something I would personally want to have at home, that's for sure. When you have a pet mamba, you know the danger. We have a dangerous enemy, the devil. The Bible tells us that he is dangerous. 1 Peter 5:8, using the word sober. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Sober includes the idea of having evenness of mind, especially under stress. With all the scattered Christians that Peter was writing to, they were being persecuted for their love of Jesus Christ. They needed the encouragement to stay calm and even-minded, even in the face of persecution. So remember the word self-discipline. Now that's enabled by God, of course. One of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. So walking in the Spirit will enable you to control yourself. Walking in the realm of the Spirit, trying to obey the Spirit, trying to follow the Spirit. We can be sober and we can be successful at it, especially as our enemy, the devil, walks about trying to devour us. There was one man that filmed, and I looked at the story. A bear was following him. He was walking because he knew if he took off running, the bear would take off running also. And usually that doesn't end well. But one of the statements that he made on camera as he was filming this bear following him, "I'm not going to be your lunch today." We can say that to the devil. He desires to devour us. But be sober, be vigilant, and watch. Know the danger. Our next word in verse 13 is hope. Expectation. We wait for our future salvation. Our future in heaven. We wait with joy and confidence, expecting the absolute certainty of our future good. Hope is believing that God will do exactly as He has said that He will do. There is patience that is waiting with our hope. And we must, in the right spirit, ask God to help us to be patient. That is a dangerous thing, because things happen. Very shortly thereafter, God does answer prayer. But we need patience. When a person is patient, he's at rest in his soul. He is confidently expecting Jesus Christ to return. He's going to perform. The angel said, this same Jesus that you see going up will come in like manner. Jesus is coming again. That's where we need to fix our expectation, our confidence, because it's going to happen. It's like a command from a general to his troops engaged in combat. He is saying it's urgent for you to expect the Savior. Think about His coming. His coming can be at any time. Do it once and for all. Do it each day. Expect that God will perform His promise. Grace is mentioned in verse 13. That's God's unmerited favor and supernatural enablement to live our daily lives as Christians. Grace is everything for nothing to those who don't deserve anything. Grace is what every man needs, what none can earn, and what God alone can and does freely give. Peter's assuring the believers of his day as well as the believers of today. God will give you the grace to live for Him. God will enable you until Jesus Christ comes back. He will develop you. He will work in your life to make you like Jesus Christ. That plan of salvation will finally be fully realized when Jesus Christ comes. We can expect them today. There's nothing in the Bible that doesn't say that he can't come back before we end the service. So be sober. Look. Expect. Verse 14. Our word pattern. In verse 14, a molding or a shaping is taking place. Peter's telling the believers that they're going to be shaped in one way or another. They're either going to be in the world's mold or they're going to be in God's mold. Peter commands that the child of God be molded into God's image. The word obedience literally means to hear under. It's a picture of someone listening and doing what is said. It also implies that the heart is in it. It is not a forced obedience. It is not an obedience that God just overcomes and makes us. We are to be obedient because we love the Lord Jesus Christ. Obedience means one listens to, follows the instructions, and is in the state of being compliant. Peter says, not fashioning yourselves, not forming according to the pattern or a mold. Don't conform outwardly. The meaning is to form or mold one's behavior in accordance with a particular pattern. God tells us, reject the evil. Be fashioned. Obey God. Do what He says. Reject. Evil will come knocking. Evil will come knocking. Residents in a town in England has been dealing with a particular issue for several years now. It's a small town. It's a quaint village. They have a knocker that goes around and knocks on doors. The only problem, it's a swan that goes and knocks at the door. They don't know why, but he started about 4 or 5 years ago. And he knocked at this man's door. He started rattling things around and messing with things like the letterbox in the middle of the door. And he kept messing with it, and then for some reason, he decided to use his beak to knock at the door. The only problem is you better answer the door. This swan has knocked at the door like this, maybe not quite that fast, for 3 hours without stopping. You better answer the door. And not only does he go to this man's door, he goes to others. The next time you are tempted with evil, and evil comes knocking, don't answer the door. Something worse than a swan will be there waiting for you. The Bible says, be careful. When you open the door, you've heard the expression, when you give the devil an inch, he will take a mile. Romans 12:2, stop being molded by the fleeting fashions of this age, but undergo a deep inner change by the qualitative renewing of your minds. We're not to be conformed to our former lusts, our former desires, the desires we had before we were saved. Don't let the world squeeze you into its own mold, but let God remold your minds from within. Think of Jell-O. You can have all kinds of shapes with Jell-O. You can have triangles, squares, circles, people, cats, dogs. You can have birds, anything, because Jell-O is conformed or shaped. The Bible says, don't let the world and its values shape you as the children of God. Sin will trap you because it seems to be fun for a while. But the Bible says that it doesn't last long because the wages of sin is death. In British Columbia, Canada, police responded to a home that had a deer inside the house. The deer was jumping all over everything, and you can imagine. There's a lot of destruction. What had happened was that the deer got in the house through a dog door. Evidently a small enough deer to get through. Sin will trap you. That deer could not get out. Ran all over the place trying to get out, but could not. Remember, sin takes you much further than you desire to go. Now in verses 15 to 16, our word holiness. Holy means separated, set apart from the secular, the profane, the evil. And it's dedicated to worship and serve God. The most outstanding characteristic of God through the Bible is that of holiness. He even has angels that constantly call him holy, holy, holy. Peter is not calling for an ordinary life. He's calling for a supernatural, separated life. The one that God can help you stay apart from sin and the moral pollution of the world. Sin always misses the mark of God's perfection. Firefighters responded in California to a parachutist who apparently missed his landing. He became entangled in the power lines. Now, those power lines were on. We're talking about a dangerous situation. He missed his landing mark. They came and got him. They cut off the electricity so that no one would get hurt. But he missed his mark and ended up hanging 30 feet from the ground. He missed the mark. The Bible says God desires for us to make the mark and to live holy lives for Him. We do it because we love God. We're to do this because it's based on the Bible. In all manner of conversation, that means in every area of life, God expects us to be holy. Holy is written in both the Old and the New Testament. Be ye holy, because I am holy. That helps you live godly in an ungodly world. Verse 17, the word standard. The Father judges according to every man's work. We have access to God, and it's a privilege to call God our Father. We even can cry, Abba, Father. That word Abba is close to the word daddy. It's a close relationship. We've got that access, and we address Him as our Father. But we must also remember that He is our Father and Judge. We will face Him at the judgment seat of Christ for the works that we have done for Him. It's mentioned here, every man's work. That means every single Christian. It will be according to what we have done for Him, our works. And there will be no exceptions. Nobody is going to get a pass. God is impartial. He's perfect. It's not to determine whether we're saved or not. It is to determine our reward. The faithful or unfaithful work of saints will make a difference both here and hereafter. This is one of the last things that Jesus said in the Bible, in the book of Revelation. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. God will determine our motives, the quality of our works, the quantity of our works. He will determine our service for Him and whether it meets His standard or not. The Bible says we can experience reward for faithfulness and doing works that's according to God's standard. Or we can lose rewards that we would have gotten had we done them according to God's standard and even had a godly motivation. So that does bring us to our last word of fear. Fear is a reverential awe of our God and Father. He's our righteous judge. The question to ask ourselves, do we reverence our God? Perhaps we can say our lives would be much different if we had reverenced Him as the Bible tells us to. Do we not sin because we know that God's watching? You know, we know that He's seeing everything that we do. His eyes run to and fro throughout the whole world. Luke 12 says, "And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear Him which after He hath power to kill, hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear Him." That helps us to be godly when we reverence and respect our God. That's the basis for all godly living. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. If we truly acknowledge God as the omnipresent, omniscient, and omnipotent judge, we will have a reverent mindset that will be reflected in the choices that we make each day. So living godly in an ungodly world. Let's pray. Lord, we ask you for your Holy Spirit to help us to be godly in an ungodly world. Help us to fully trust you in being godly, in just the choices that we make, that we will choose the right and ignore the wrong. Help us to be renewed in the inner man so that we can love you, serve you, and just enjoy the abundant life that you give us. In Christ's name.